Thank you for tuning in to the University of Minnesota Extension Center for Youth Development podcast series. My name is Carrie Rabideau, and I'm a Youth Development Extension educator. We have experienced a pause in our podcasts as our staff adjust to working from home during the COVID pandemic, and we're finding new ways and incorporating existing platforms that we have to continue reaching youth workers and providing positive youth development experiences for young people. Well, we're back, and our upcoming podcasts, including this one, will focus on topics related to our changing world and provide support to our work. This episode focuses on practicing empathy. Leading us through this conversation is Karen Santel. She's also an extension educator, and she is going to share four attributes of empathy. Thank you for joining me today, Karen.
Thanks for having me, Carrie. I'm happy to be here.
And to be back with us. You have done podcasts with us in the past, and I appreciate you joining us again. You have a recent blog post that you wrote on our youth development insight, in which you stated that empathy has never been more important. How did this topic become important to you?
You know, Carrie, when we did at the Center for Youth Development this winter a series of webinars for our 4-H volunteers around social and emotional learning and different skills and different activities that youth workers can do with youth. And the one that just so happened to be scheduled at the end of March was about showing empathy and giving feedback. And as we were preparing for that webinar, I just realized how we are living today with this pandemic and are staying at home, working from home, helping our kids with work. Also, I mean, some of us have, you know, spouses or significant others that are essential workers that are still going out in the workforce who are not seeing people in live time as much. That empathy is just so important with our family, with our work, with any aspect of our life.
And as you talk through that, I mean, clearly all of us are experiencing many different things. We're all here together, but how all of our families and how young people are going through it is so different. And, you know, I find myself, you know, seeing some situations and sometimes we use the word sympathy and, yes. You know, you're proposing the word empathy. Do you find that some people interchange the word empathy and sympathy, and how are they different? Talk us through the differences and why empathy is so important right now.
Yes, thank you for that. I do believe we do use them interchangeably, but until you really dive into what the difference is you don't really realize the difference. Where sympathy is really drives disconnection, and it's making maybe some judgmental comments, or it might be you're finding the silver lining in the situation. You're not maybe being helpful. You may feel like you are, or being sympathetic as you might have compassion. So sympathy isn't a bad thing. It is just different than empathy, where empathy really requires us to internalize the feelings of others, and it really fuels connection. You're making more of a connection with the person that you're visiting with or talking with.
So it's opposed to saying, I'm sorry for your loss, or I'm sorry you're going through this. You're taking it deeper with somebody and really tell me more about how you're feeling.
Exactly. And you're really listening as well. That's a really being a listener, and just listening is being empathetic.
Okay. Well, as I mentioned earlier in this podcast, you're going to share four attributes of empathy with us.
Yes. As I was doing the research for this webinar that I had mentioned, that this podcast is being derived from, I really looked at Brené Brown's work, which she's familiar out in, I would say, self-help, or she has some great information on empathy, but her information comes from Teresa Wiseman, who really nailed down these four attributes of empathy. And Teresa's research is in the nursing field, and which that was kind of like that ding, ding, ding light bulb that went on for me as I think about nurses and people in the medical field. They really need to be empathetic to the people that they're working with, the patients or clients that they have. So it was kind of like, oh, this makes sense that these attributes come from that field. So the first one that they list is to be able to see the world as others see it. And I think this is when we were talking, you know, the difference between empathy and sympathy is that you as the person who is being empathetic needs to put your stuff aside and just see it through the other person's eyes. And the saying, and I probably won't say it quite right, but, you know, walk in the other person's shoes for a mile and just being able to just listen. So kind of just putting whatever you know or you think aside and just trying to see the world through that other person's eyes, which that goes into the next point of being non-judgmental. Sometimes people just need to have somebody listen to them, and that's the best that we can do is just listen, not give advice, not be judgmental, not give that silver lining, oh, it could be worse or it could be better. Just be objective, be a good listener.
Now, Karen, those first two really do lend themselves to each other, don't they?
Yes,
and
they
being
do.
Able to see, being able to, and you said that, but being able to see the world through someone else's eyes, pausing and saying, I know how I feel about this, or I know how I would go through this, or I've done this before in another situation. This is how I reacted. Setting that aside.
Yes.
And not judging someone for how they're feeling, how they're working through it, and how they feel about it. It's challenging.
It is. It is. Because I know I personally, like, I like to fix things or help things, or I'm kind of a Pollyanna. So I always want to, like, oh, bring out, you know, the glass is half full or the brighter side, or, you know, to help people feel better about whatever situation they are. But sometimes it's just a matter of being that listener and just saying, you know what, I can see this is really hard on you. Can you tell me more? And just listen without saying anything. And you can probably tell I like to talk, and so that sometimes can be hard for me. And sometimes you just need to ask people, do you want me to just listen, or would you like me to give some advice or my thoughts too? Mm. You know, and just to ask them, because sometimes maybe that is what they're looking for is some, so what do you think? But just wait, asking them if they're ready for it, or maybe say, you know what, if you want, I'd be more than happy to talk with you again in a couple days, or check in on you or something like that.
But when we're empathetic, we aren't solving someone's problem.
Yes, exactly. Yep. Or trying to make it better. We're just there and we're listening, being non-judgmental. And I think the third attribute that I think kind of goes along, kind of maybe the next step is you have to try to understand another person's feelings, what they're feeling. So you need to be in touch with your own feelings as well. Being joyous or being depressed or mad or frustrated, being able to name feelings and have that self-awareness of what feelings are and how they make you feel helps you be a more empathetic listener or more empathetic feeling is just being in touch with your feelings.
When I hear you describe that, I think about how we are in a time where we're all experiencing this in different ways, and being able to set aside my experience right now, which is how I'm feeling about my experience, I guess, is that aspect of, I can't really understand what you're feeling unless I let mine go. And mm-hmm. there are a lot of heightened feelings,
emotions
right
yes.
now, and emotions.
And the heightened emotion, you know, we might feel that anxiety, but some people might be to be more quiet too, and understand how different people respond to different stressors or happiness or whatever it might be. Yet we are all experiencing this pandemic together, but we're all experiencing it differently because we all, well, number one, we handle stress differently, but our living situations are different. And that's, I think, one of the things in the youth work field, positive youth development field, we need to consider that because it's, yes, we work with youth, but we also, they are in a family, they're in a house. And unless you really know your families really well, and what is their situation? Is it, you know, maybe they're both, their parents are essential workers and they're still working. That's a different situation where you know, where both parents are still at home and they're getting help with, you know, homework or other essentials. I think the other piece, just in our local radio station this morning, we talked, an interview was with our violence intervention project, and that, you know, not everybody's home is safe. You know, we have to keep that in mind. There's also the food insecurity is, you know, where are meals coming from, financial stresses. There's a lot of stress on a lot of families, and that we, I think, as a youth development organization need to be aware of and be considerate and be empathetic.
Yeah. And in this time, we default to the world, you know, going back to the first three that you talked about, we default to the world as we see it, how we understand things. So it's hard not to be judgmental. Mm-hmm. And we know what our feelings are right now. They're, a lot of them are really intense a lot of the time. And so that as a youth worker, bringing that back and being able to see all of the things that someone else may be experiencing.
Yes, exactly. So true. And then going into the last of the attributes is to communicate your understanding of that person's feelings. And I kind of alluded to this as the way we comment, but it, instead of saying, well, at least you, or it could be worse, we say, you know, oh yeah, I have a story, you know, I've been there and this is what I did. But just sometimes it's just saying, you know, it sounds like you're at a hard place right now. Just tell me more about it. And just being, going back to those listening skills, and actually going back to the first two, listening skills, and not being judgmental, and just letting people talk and to visit. I know, and sometimes even when we get through this, a lot of people need to tell their story. And sometimes we might be tired of hearing people's stories and we want to share our own, but is to let people share their stories. Trying to use language that instead of, oh, that must have been hard, but really diving into some deeper descriptions of emotions. And that is, you know, with our social emotional learning skills that we have been doing, there's a whole big wheel of emotions out there. And, you know, we default to being happy or sad, or, but are you frustrated, or maybe you're hungry, or you're elated. And just to broaden our description of emotions, I think can be very helpful in this situation. As you drill down to whatever emotion it is, you kind of get at the stem of what's causing it, whether it's the, you know, a happy emotion or a sad or frustrating emotion. You know, so as youth workers, I think, you know, being empathetic is one of those skills we need when we're face to face, as well as maybe virtually. That's the way we're kind of meeting right now, to really push ourselves to be empathetic, to be that listener, to think about how the other person is feeling and putting yourself in their shoes. And that's really a skill we can also teach our youth, which really happens just by having conversations and one-on-one conversations. And I think a way to develop it might be in smaller group discussions, so everybody gets to talk, and also practice being that empathetic listener and giving some of those prompts that show empathy. Where we're at in the world right now with, you know, being at home, doing a lot of things virtually, using technology, it's going to look different. And it's probably going to take a little more effort, because it's, when you're face-to-face, you can read body cues and tone of voice and things like that. And it also, it takes a little more effort to reach out to somebody via technology, which can be a barrier. But yet, it's important that we do, especially as youth workers, just to reach out to our youth and continue to keep those connections, because that's what we know youth need, are those positive connections from us as youth workers.
Karen, I thank you for encouraging us to intentionally be empathetic as we listen to young people, to volunteers we're working with, even other colleagues from our office that we're not able to be in the office with them. Yes. Right now, as we're connecting with them in virtual ways. You know, we all have a lot to navigate right now. There are a lot of changes. There are some disappointments. There are cancellations, and there are big events in people's lives that they're having to change the picture of how that's going to look for them. Using empathy with each other really seems important right now. And I really appreciate you raising it up as one of those skills that you need to be intentional about using it. Yeah. It's not something that happens naturally for all of us. As you said earlier, I think it's more natural to solve the problem.
It is. And empathy really is a learned skill. It's not an innate skill in us. It's something that we have to learn. And I really think empathy, yes, we need it right now, but we're going to need it in the future too, as we start to go back to what we might call our normal life when we're out and about. But normal is going to be different. And everybody's going to deal with that differently. So we need to have that, our empathy skills kind of on high alert, and really be empathetic as we move into what the future is going to look like.
This has really been a valuable conversation, Karen. And we've mentioned her blog post a number of times. Look in the description for a link to her blog post that is called Empathy Has Never Been More Important. You'll find that on our Youth Development Insight blog, as I mentioned. And there is already a very deep and rich conversation happening underneath that blog. I invite you as listeners to jump in there and ask Karen questions. Also contribute your thoughts on how we can continue to build this skill and be empathetic with each other during this time. Please go to our website at www.extension.umn.edu/youth. There you will find more information about the Center for Youth Development and training and research that we have for youth workers and opportunities for young people to engage in positive youth development opportunities. I'd also like to invite you to look on the very right side of that page. We have a new category that is called Working with Youth from a Distance, and that will provide you with more resources on how we can continue our work during this time. Thanks again for joining me today, Karen.
You're welcome. I'm glad I could join you.
This is Carrie Rabideau from the University of Minnesota Extension Center for Youth Development. Please tune in again soon.